Hello, I'm John Lord, and this is To Notice Such Things. To Notice Such Things is a suite in six movements for solo flute, piano, and string orchestra, and it is written in memoriam, really, for John Mortimer QC, Sir John, the creator of Rumpole and one of London's most daring and famous barristers, a man of great humour, and a man who became a friend of mine about 15 years ago. And after his sad passing in January 2009, I was approached by a gentleman to commission me to write a piece for flute and strings, and it seemed to me a good opportunity to use some pieces that I had written for John's stage show, Mortimer's Miscellany. I had written a few odds and ends, and I garnered them all together and made the suite To Notice Such Things. The title comes from the last line of a poem by Thomas Hardy called Afterwards, in which the poet muses on what people might think of him after he's gone. And John used to end his stage show with this poem, and I used to play a gentle piece of music in the background, and that music forms the basis of the last movement of To Notice Such Things. Next movement is called At Court, and this tries to capture John in his glory in the 60s, the 70s, when he bestrode the Strand and the Law Courts and the Old Bailey like some sort of hilarious colossus, having enormous fun and defending, always the right of free speech. The third movement is called Turville Heath. Thank you. This is where John lived, in the house that his father built in the early 30s, I believe. And I try to imagine in this movement John walking around the garden that his father loved and that he loved too, looking at all the good stuff in there. Then we come to the rather strangely titled The Stick Dance. In later years, John lost the use of his legs. He spent the last 2 or 3 years of his life in a wheelchair. But just before that, he could get around with a stick. And as John had loved back in the day, had loved jiving. He obviously couldn't jive with a stick, but he stood there and held the hand of any compliant young lady who was willing to jive madly while. Well, he just stood and enjoyed the view, really. The fifth movement is called The Winter of a Dormouse, which is a change on the line from Lord Byron about man's life being but the summer of a dormouse. And one of John's favourite poets was Byron. When John was made a sir, on his coat of arms he was asked what he would like, and he chose a dormouse for that too. And in the last days, John started going through a difficult time, as you can only imagine. And so I believed that I was trying to portray those last days as carefully as I could, and The Winter of a Dormouse seemed like the right thing to say. It ends with a movement called Afterwards, as I say, based on the Hardy poem. And John used to end his show by saying, I'd like to read this last poem in memory of my father, or perhaps as an epitaph for me, he used to say. But certainly for all those of us who spend our best days in the country and notice the things that matter there. Evening Song started life as a song written in the mid to late 90s with lyrics by the lovely Sam Brown, Samantha Brown, of course. That's why I called her lovely. And she and I wrote this really about that wonderful time of the evening, also perhaps in a way a time of your life when you are prone to sitting staring out the window as the sun bleeds out of the sky and it's all rather gentle and beautiful and the birds are flying home. And I tried to portray that, and on this occasion decided to try it as an instrumental version with the alto flute and the French horn in place of the voice. It's very, very much a summer evening. As I say, maybe even a glass of wine involved, but certainly a comfortable chair and a big window. For Example is a piece that started life about 5 or 6 years ago as a small piano piece, which I had written to dedicate to some friends of mine, some musicians in Norway called the Trondheim Soloists, a wonderful chamber string orchestra. And it was really, it's a nod towards a very early favourite composer of mine, Edvard Grieg, and a nod to them being Norwegian and so on. I then did a small string arrangement on it and played it with them at the Bergen Music Festival a couple of years ago. On this occasion, I found myself drawn more deeply into the piece as I was preparing it, and it has become really not just a sort of homage to Edvard Grieg, thus it's called, for example, E.G. But it's also a deeper thing in a way. It's a memory, a look back at my piano teacher of years ago when I first went to lessons with him, aged 8 or 9, and finished when I was 17 or 18. And a troubled man and a failed concert pianist, I think you would call him, but a brilliant, brilliant teacher. And he introduced me to the music of Grieg. And so this is really for him. Air on the Blue String. This was as a result of a remark I heard the cellist Matthew Barley make on a television program. He was talking to a young cellist, and he just asked him out of the blue, "Can you play the blues? Have you heard any blues music?" And the young cellist looked at him slightly askance and said, "Well, no, actually." And he said, "Well, I think you should. You should perhaps look at a kind of music that is not on the page. It's out of your emotions and out of your heart and soul," he said. "And you never know. If you can play the blues, you might be able to play the Bach cello suites better or differently or with more feeling." And that remark stuck in my head. And thus, Air on the Blue String. and some attempt to put some of the blues harmonies and the slightly jazzy blues harmonies into a more Bach-like classical context.
When the present has latched its postern behind my tremulous stay, and the May month flaps its glad green leaves like wings delicate filmed as new-spun silk, will the neighbours say, "He was a man who used to notice such things"? If it be in the dusk when, like an eyelid soundless blink, the dewfall hawk comes crossing the shades to alight upon the wind-warped upland thorn, a gazer may think, to him, this must have been a familiar sight. If I pass during some nocturnal blackness, mothy and warm, when the hedgehog travels furtively over the lawn, one may say, he strove that such innocent creatures should come to no harm, but he could do little for them. Now he is gone. If, when hearing that I have been stilled at last, they stand at the door watching the full-starred heavens that winter sees, will this thought rise on those who will meet my face no more? He was one who had an eye for such mysteries. And will any say, when my bell of quittance is heard in the gloom, and a crossing breeze cuts a pause in its outrollings, till they rise again as they were a new bell's boom, he hears it not now, but used to notice such things.
Got enough?
Fantastic, more than enough. That's brilliant. Thank you, John.
And that's yours.
That's mine. I'll take that. So, are you staying up this
night? No, I'm going to.
Your training.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to the hotel and pack up and.